trusted voice of truth and light.
God gave me a gift. I shovel well. I shovel very well.
And a rally point for those who've accepted the reality that they are not sheep.
We've got a blind date with destiny.
And it looks like she's ordered the lobster.
This is the Brian Hyde Show.
Well, hello there and welcome to the show. I want to mention my sponsors here quickly. Dixie Chiropractic, HSL Ammo, Sewing and Quilting Center, Monticello College, Life Saving Food, and also the Heather Turner team at Patriot Home Mortgage. I've got Eric Peters from ericpetersautos.com on the line with me. Eric, always appreciate our weekly reality checks. At least I feel more grounded after we talk. So thank you in advance.
Oh, sure. And I also feel better in that I don't feel like I'm the only person who holds these kooky views that we hold.
It's a crazy time. And on the one hand, that means job security for commentators like you and me, especially those who are promoting a message of freedom. On the other hand,
yep.
There's a lot of crazy stuff going on right now. Yeah. Let's dive right in and talk a little bit about cryptocurrency. There was a massacre of sorts that took place over the weekend or just before the end of last week. Talk to me about what was going on with cryptocurrency. What are your thoughts?
Well, one, I think that the term is apt, crypto, in that it's hidden and nobody seems to understand what it is or can explain what it is adequately. I've looked into it extensively myself, and I've come up with all these supposed explanations that it has to do with mining of Bitcoin, and the number of Bitcoins that can be issued is inherently limited somehow. I don't understand it. And, you know, when I can't understand something that ought to be pretty straightforward and simple, like money, I get hesitant. That's the word I want to use about getting involved with it. And so I'm glad that I didn't get involved with it because, as you mentioned, over the past several days, the value of it has dumped by, I think, half to two thirds. So a lot of people who had their money tied up in Bitcoin are now feeling pain even worse than the pain being inflicted on us by the Biden thing in terms of the devaluation of the dollar.
I still have, there's a part of me that wants to believe, and this is probably the part that is just looking about for solutions. I am losing faith in the U.S. dollar. I'm losing faith in in fiat currency as issued under our central bank. So I want to believe that there is some other place where we can hold a store of value where it's not going to be subject to the approval of government or any of its intermediaries. And for a while, it looked like crypto might be the solution to that. But man, it's volatile.
Well, that's the lure that they put out in front of us. But you know, the thing that kind of kept me, and again, I'll use the word hesitant, is that it's a digital thing, that it's online. And they tell us, at least the advocates of Bitcoin say, well, it's got these blockchain security measures and it's anonymous and all of that. And I don't buy that. I don't think that anything that's online is anonymous. And certainly anything that's online is not under your control, is it? You know, if you have a silver 1 ounce coin or an ounce of gold coin, you physically got the gold and you've got the silver. And yeah, the value of it might fluctuate according to markets, but it can't just be, you know, disappeared at a keystroke. And they can't simply take it away from you, your ability to buy and sell, your ability to purchase. And I think that's a real problem with any form of digital currency, whether it's something that's issued by these Bitcoin people, whoever they are, or whether it's issued by banks or by the government. Anything that is online, I think at this point, given everything that's happened so far, we should be very, very careful about, if not very suspicious of.
Yeah, and especially the government equivalent of cryptocurrency, the central bank digital currencies. That's the stuff of economic fascism writ large.
Yeah, and you know, I think that there's a possibility, and maybe I'm just paranoid, that Bitcoin was meant to get people into that idea. In other words, to habituate it to them, to normalize the idea of having their finances handled in that manner, to make it seem cool and trendy and new and all of that. And it doesn't strike me as a coincidence. It seems that Bitcoin sort of came out of nowhere a lot like Facebook did and Twitter did, and these opaque origins, who's behind it, where did the money come from, are bothersome.
Yeah, and it makes me think more and more. Maybe guys like you and I are just, we're a bit anachronistic, Yep, you know, I'm pretty fond of gold and silver and, you know, precious metals, things that have been valued as money, you know, for pretty much all of recorded human history. And maybe there's a reason for that.
Sure. Sometimes being old school or anachronistic is a good thing. It's very difficult to inflate gold or silver because it's a hard asset. You have to actually mine it, not like Bitcoin mining. You actually have to go out there and dig it up, and there's not that much of it. It's very hard to find it. And then you have to refine it and smelt it and all of these things that inherently limit the ability of some entity to manipulate its value. And I think that's a profoundly important thing. One of the things that characterizes money, or which I think should, is stability. You should feel comfortable in that, okay, if I work and I earn money and I want to store it, that you should be able to store it in a manner that's stable, that's tied to something that's of value, that's not subject to just some ephemeral shift in some speculative market where all of a sudden you wake up one day and find that the money that you put into whatever it is now only worth 50% or you know, not even 25% of what it was worth 24 hours before.
Yep. All I know is I don't feel safe with all of my money sitting in the bank after seeing what happened to the Canadian truckers and those who supported them.
Yeah.
It's very, very clear that we're moving toward a system of centralized control and more centralized than it already is. So I'm open to suggestions, and I really hope crypto might be one of them, but you make a pretty strong case. We can't hang our hats on it. Not at this point.
Yeah. I'd like to see more clarity. I'd like to have some transparency. Okay, who exactly is behind this? How is it that it is limited to, I forgot the number, they'll say something like, I think it's 50,000 bitcoins or something, and no more of those can be mined. How exactly does that work? And in a way that anybody who isn't stupid can readily understand. I think if they could do that, I think people would have a lot more confidence in it.
So give me your general feeling on the health of the U.S. dollar. I mean, we're watching inflation eat away the purchasing power of dollars pretty quick. Are we looking at some kind of change in the near future?
Well, yeah, I'm surprised, actually, that it is as healthy as it is, that we're only suffering something like, a 15% devaluation of its purchasing power over the past 12 months. Could be a lot worse, and it probably will be. As I understand historical trends, when these sorts of things get rolling, at first you have this relatively mild to relatively severe kind of inflation that we've experienced, and I like to use devaluation because I think that's a more accurate term. But anyway, then all of a sudden a tipping point is reached where people lose confidence in the value of the money and its ability to hold value, and then it tanks. And then overnight, you have a situation where you have to push a wheelbarrow full of paper dollars to the store to get a loaf of bread.
Yeah, there's a very striking illustration you use in your article of a roll of toilet paper made up of dollar bills. And for people in the know, it's like, it's really, when people stop believing in it, it's paper. That's all it is.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. I think paper dollars that are tied to gold or silver are okay. You know, we had that once in this country where if you had a dollar bill, you could go to a bank and upon demand, that was the terminology, you could get, I think it was an ounce of silver. And so, you know, the paper had not only had value in that sense, but it was also stable because they couldn't just print more dollars. You know, that was a fundamentally dishonest, a fraudulent thing, because what it did was to devalue the purchasing power of the dollars that were held by other people. It's, you know, fundamentally a form of theft, but a very subtle and sneaky form where people don't actually see the dollars taken out of their pockets. What they see is that the dollars in their pockets all of a sudden don't buy as much as they used to.
No. Now, we're about a minute from having to take our break. When we come back, though, speaking of not being able to buy as much as we used to, I want to pick your brain a little bit about where people could shop for used cars, understanding that's a near impossibility right now. I think maybe even harder to find a good used car than a new one, and that's tough.
Yeah, it is, but it's a near, and we can talk about that more after the break.
Okay. Again, we're talking with Eric Peters from ericpetersautos.com. Eric, something else that I wanted to just, we've got like 60 seconds here. Let's get your take on COVID mania. Is it subsiding? Are we likely to see a resurgence? It seems things have been pretty quiet on that front.
Well, I think I think it's certain we're going to see a resurgence of the hysteria. In my area, it seems that the hysterics have burbled down to about a third of the population. It's been stable in that sense for the past several months. And when I say about a third, that's the number of people that I see continuing to wear the holy face diaper. The rest of the people aren't, but that third is strongly clinging to their diapers.
Yeah, and it sounds like this World Health Organization treaty, which we may want to touch on here in the next segment, may be something worth keeping an eye on, just because that sounds like a one-size-fits-all approach for the next time, you know, someone invokes the pandemic. Hold that thought. We'll come back in just a moment. Eric Peters from ericpetersautos.com is my guest. If you look at my show notes at thebrianhydeshow.com, there's a nice link that'll take you directly to his website. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
This is The Brian Hyde Show. This is The Brian Hyde Show.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We're talking with Eric Peters from ericpetersautos.com. All right, Eric, a couple quick things here. Mm-hmm. Let's take a moment to talk about, first of all, let's talk about used cars. I feel bad for anybody who is in the market for a used car. You had a very good article last week about affordable used cars are still available if you wait for them. Walk us through that.
Sure. Right now, there's a kind of a speculative bubble in the price of used cars for a number of reasons. I think you and I have touched on them before. One is the relative dearth of supply of new vehicles. Another is that a lot of people just don't want new vehicles and are trying to snap up the older vehicles that are less nanny-ish, less over-teched, don't have a lot of the features that you and I don't like so much. But that doesn't mean that there still aren't buys out there. And I riffed in the article off of my buddy's nephew, who's, I guess, 19 years old, who managed to find himself a really good deal on the proverbial little old lady's car. And he was very scrupulous about watching the local used car ads, not the big eBays, not the car dealership lots and all of that, where you're guaranteed a top dollar plus for any kind of a car. He waited until he found an ad that was put forward by the family of an older lady who could no longer drive. And these people weren't looking to make a killing. They just needed to get rid of his car because the older lady couldn't drive it anymore. So he was ready. He had already gotten his cash in hand and he was prepared to pounce as soon as an opportunity like that came up. And he literally went and got the car that very same day. And that's what you got to do in order to get the deal. You got to keep your eyes open. You have to keep your ears open and just wait for your opportunity, which will come up. And when it comes up, be prepared to act. Be prepared to drop everything right now and go and see and potentially buy that car.
But you got to have the patience. And talk to me about cash in hand. I get the impression that you're not a fan of, hey, let's spread this out over the next 6 years. Let me keep paying on this depreciating asset.
Well, and you can't do that with private sellers. When you go to a private seller, they're going to expect you to pay for the car in full. And the other side of that equation is the benefit to you as the potential buyer is the cash really does a lot of talking. When you show up to meet somebody who's trying to sell their car and they can see that you've got that envelope from the bank that's full of money that you're prepared to give them to take that car off their hands, it's a big incentive to come to terms. So provided that the asking price is within reason and provided you're willing to haggle on a reasonable basis, it's very likely that you're going to end up being able to strike a deal. Now, there is a caution, and you know, this is an important thing for people to consider if they're not aware of it. When you travel by car or travel anywhere to go look at a used vehicle and you have got money from the bank in your pocket, be extra careful because of these loathsome civil asset forfeiture laws, wherein if you get pulled over for speeding or some other broken taillight kind of infraction and a cop happens to see that you've got that envelope sitting there on the passenger seat, they can take your money. They can just seize it and then claim that it was the result of illegal drug activity. And then it's up to you to try to convince the system that no, in fact, it wasn't. And they're only obligated to give it back to you if they feel like it. So be very, very careful about carrying large sums of money anywhere in public.
Yep. Yep, I would agree. I would agree. Give me your take on the World Health Organization's conference, which kicks off here in just a couple of days, in which they're looking at apparently a global treaty, a one-size-fits-all approach that every nation who's part of that treaty would be required to adhere to if another pandemic is declared. I'm sure you're aware of this. I'd like to get your thoughts on it.
I am. Well, it's terrifying, isn't it? Essentially, it's a surrender of, they'll put it in terms of national sovereignty, but of our sovereignty and of us becoming enthralled and beholden to these UN bureaucrats, these people who we can't even vote out of office, who are so remote from us that they can do whatever they want to us. And we have literally no recourse whatsoever except physical resistance. Now, my hope is, as I understand the way the Constitution and procedure is supposed to work, that the Senate would have to ratify this thing in order for it to have the force of law. And I'm hopeful that there are enough senators left in the Senate even now to not have that happen.
Wow. I mean, it was bad enough to watch it unrolled, from the various municipalities and states and nationally. But I can only imagine what would happen if you centralized this to a global level. We would all end up looking like, I presume, Australia or maybe New Zealand or maybe Shanghai.
Or China.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or China, where the ruling claque has promulgated this zero COVID standard. In other words, these lockdowns and all of their police state type things that are ongoing over there will never end until there's no COVID at all, meaning nobody getting sick ever, which is an impossible standard, which means that this will be a permanent police state forever.
Wow. Man, there's a part of me that really wants to believe, okay, sanity has finally returned. People are starting to see the light. And I think a lot of people have finally realized, you know what? This was all unnecessary. The lockdowns, the masks, the forced vaccinations was for nothing. But I don't think that message has yet reached the people in power.
Yeah, no, it was for something. And it wasn't by accident. I've maintained for a long time now that this isn't simply an error out of abundance of caution, that these people were well-intended, that they were just trying to keep us safe, as they always like to say. They knew. Everybody knew. Anybody who did any due diligence would have known. Within a few months of the pandemic springing forth in 2020, that, yeah, maybe this is something that people who are very elderly, very obese, who already have a lot of chronic health problems ought to be maybe concerned about and perhaps should take some countermeasures to mitigate. But that for the rest of us, this is not a big deal and life should go on perfectly well, and that it is no justification at all to close people's businesses, to destroy their livelihoods, much less to force people, particularly kids. This is one of the most loathsome and obnoxious aspects of it, kids to be shot up with drugs by these pharmaceutical companies. You know, it's malicious, and you have to ask yourself, and what's the end point? What's the goal of such malicious action?
Yeah, I'm with you. And I know that memories fade quickly, and it's been a couple of years since we saw, the police arresting people and taking them to jail for, jogging, sitting in their cars, looking at sunsets. They at least give them tickets for that. Chasing down the lone guy out there on a paddleboard out on the ocean.
Right.
You have to wonder what was going through the minds of those officers that seemed like, a proper exercise of policing authority.
Well, it was kind of a test in many ways. One of the things that was tested was to see whether Americans are good Germans, particularly people, and I hate to say it, wearing badges and carrying guns. A lot of them were perfectly fine to be the hands and feet, if you will, of the entity, the machine that's behind all of this and do this to us. They didn't care. Even if they thought that it was ridiculous, they were willing to do it and do it in extremis. You and I and everybody else has seen these videos of people being tackled and roughed up and treated as if they were some kind of terrorist or armed felon, over nothing, over not wearing a stupid mask. And that's worrisome. It's bad enough that we have to deal with people like Gates and Biden and all the other high muckety mucks. But we also have to worry about the thousands and thousands, if not millions of people in this country who are more than happy to go along with this kind of thing.
I think it's going to come down to, as most things do, at the individual level, you've got to know when you are going to say no and then stick to it.
Yes, absolutely. And if we've learned anything, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Ask questions. Do not take at face value that these people are well-intended. What was it Reagan said? Trust, but verify. People ought to have their thinking caps on now and look with a jaundiced eye upon anything that they're told by the government, by big corporations, by these social media outlets. Suspicion, unfortunately, now ought to be the prime directive and the prime motivator for everything that we do.
Amen, bro. Eric, thanks so much for dropping by. Always great to visit with you, my friend.
Likewise, Brian.
This is the Brian Hyde Show. This is the Brian Hyde Show.
Hey, welcome back to the show. A shout out here to sewingandquiltingcenter.com. Now, they're located in St. George, Utah. Yes, they have a physical store there, 779 South Bluff Street. But I don't care where you live. If you are interested in sewing, if you're interested in long arm quilting, embroidery, anything like that, these are the folks you want to turn to. They have the very best machines, from entry-level sewing machines right up to the really high-dollar, you know, long-arm quilting machines. But the cool thing about Sewing and Quilting Center is they will teach you how to use the machine you buy from them. Free classes, how to use your machine. I mean, that's a pretty good way to guarantee you're going to get proper use of that machine. And they'll service it after you've bought it. They will sell you the supplies, the thread, the everything that you need to get in there and make the most of what's more than just a hobby, but really a means of creation for a lot of people. Check it out. Someone in your life loves sewing, loves quilting. Sewingandquiltingcenter.com, that's the place you need to point them. Well, you know, as an information junkie or a recovering information junkie, I can attest that it's really hard to break the habit of wanting to know what's dominating the news cycle today. Sometimes I think it's just morbid curiosity. Sometimes it's just, you know, a desire to see, okay, what weirdness are we going to expect today? But I've got a great article here from Paul Rosenberg about how the news is designed to break your will. And maybe this will hit you the way it hit me, but it kind of makes me reevaluate just how much news content I really want to consume. He says, more or less every adult knows there are serious problems with the news, by which I refer to the alphabet soup of news organizations plus fact-checked social media. Now, he says most of them, however, are smallish things, legitimately bad, but really not the central issue. He says what matters most about the news is that it's designed, structured, to soften and break human will. All else pales compared to this. And that breaking of will, he says, turns on a single fact: that acts of will require you to expend energy. So every time you see a lie and you say, I don't think so, you have to expend energy, energy that could have been used for other things. And if the people around you believe the lie, well, the energy you require to maintain your will shoots sky high. So if you have to spend energy objecting to a lie 5 or 10 or 20 times per day over weeks or months, you'll have to spend a lot of energy. And sooner or later, you'll be worn out. That's when your subconscious mind will step in to save you from burnout. By providing plausible reasons to give in, compliance comes far too easily for human beings. Coach Vince Lombardi used to say, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And Paul Rosenberg says that's true, but none of us want to seem like a coward. And so our brilliant brains fill the gap. They give our conscious minds reasons to stop spending all that energy. So as long as you stay plugged into the media complex, this will happen to you. Your will is all but certain to be softened and ultimately broken. I guess it's not so much a matter of trying to convince you as much as they're just trying to wear us down. And Paul Rosenberg says the energy requirements to maintain your will become simply too high, and your self-preservation systems will guide you into wasting less energy. Now, he says, in fairness, I should add that many media employees don't realize this is happening to their viewers, and certainly not at first. He says their bosses very likely know this, and very certainly intelligence agencies, at least at the higher levels, know all about this. And that's because the principle behind it has been widely known for at least a century now. Consider these passages from one of its developers, Edward Bernays. Quote, "We are governed, our minds molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we've never heard of. If we understand the mechanisms and motives of the group mind, it's now possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it." End quote. See, Bernays thought these were good things, and he made a lot of money teaching governments and corporations how to use them starting in World War I. Here in comparison is a passage from psychologist Eric Fromm, who did not think this was a good thing. Quote, "A vast sector of modern advertising does not appeal to reason, but emotion, but to emotion, rather. Like any other kind of hypnoid suggestion, it tries to impress its objects emotionally and then to make them submit intellectually." End quote. So the term hypnoid is now out of use, but hypnoid state referred to an absence of mind or consciousness produced by intense daydreams. That is, a state of immersion in a fantasy, like when watching TV or being swallowed up in social media. Now, the ironic thing about this breaking of human will is that big lies work better than small ones. And it seems that rooting a big lie isn't much harder than rooting a small one. And it's certain that opposing a big lie, one that seemingly everyone has believed, requires a very large expense of energy. Hitler and Goebbels took over a good portion of two continents using this technique. See, the big liars rely upon the fact that you haven't the strength to resist over time. So they'll bombard you with the same unfounded assertions and show you millions of people who adamantly believe them. Social media, by the way, is great at this. And at first you'll be incredulous, but each time you object, you'll have to spend energy. After doing this over and over, you'll be tired, especially so if the assertions come at the end of a long day or as you roll out of bed. None of us have limitless energy, and eventually you will be tired, and that's when they win. So, what do you do about it? You ready for this? The solution's very simple and obvious. Turn it off. Paul Rosenberg says, please believe me that you do not need TV news or social media. These are habits, even addictions. But once you walk away from them, you'll find that your life gets better, not worse. That accomplished, you can get whatever news you need, and you probably need less than you think, by surfing the independent internet. And by independent internet, he says, not Facebook, not Google, not Twitter. You'll be quite able to find the information you need, and you'll have to consider the bias of each source, but you're probably doing that anyway. If you want to watch certain TV shows, just buy the DVDs, then watch them as you wish. Trade them with your friends and so on, but don't watch regular TV. He says there is no path to victory in this fight, and it is a fight for your mind, except to walk away from the rigged game. If you stay tuned in, you will lose, and you'll find reasons, very often very creative ones, to submit. And from then on, your instincts will be to defend that choice, whichever one you submitted to, and to resent anyone who didn't submit. Now, you can certainly pull yourself out of that loop, but you'll have wasted a lot of time and energy in the process. So just a couple of last words here. He says, TV and social media are the organs of a demanding and consuming culture, to whatever degree you're locked into it. That's how much you're locked out of your individual development. Now, he says, I know I'm raging against the highest gods of the age here. But he also says, I'm not fundamentally wrong, and a better life for you and your family awaits. So he says, let me leave you with a passage from Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America, Volume 2, Book 4, Chapter 6. It's another description of the process. Quote, the will of man is not shattered, but softened, bent, and guided. Such a power does not destroy, but it prevents existence. It does not tyrannize, but it compresses, elevates, extinguishes, and stupefies a people. End quote. And so Paul Rosenberg concludes by saying, this is a good time to walk away from something that is structured to make use of us. This is the second story, by the way, that I've seen in the last 24 hours of people urging step away from social media. And I would add to the point that you find yourself feeling anger or feeling fear as you watch the news, that should be a really huge tell that you are being manipulated. And sadly, I know, I fall into the category, well, Brian, sometimes when I listen to you, that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling anger. I'm feeling fear. And it's true. And I apologize for being the delivery system sometimes. I hope you'll understand my motivation isn't so much to get people scared out of their wits, but to bring awareness or to bring clarity to what's going on around us. But sometimes, that's the direction I go. All I'm asking you to understand is it bugs me just like it bugs you. I don't like to find myself going there, but, you know, I've been at this for a long time, and I feel like I'm fairly savvy. I can recognize when someone's trying to manipulate me, but I still get sucked in. But I'm going to go back to what Paul Rosenberg is saying. It's time to unplug, and it's time to walk away from something that's structured to break your will and to make you just throw your hands in the air and say, okay, look, I'm not going to believe it, but I'm going to quit pushing back against it. Forget that. We only have a limited amount of moral energy to which we can apply, you know, in our daily lives. Don't waste it on things that are unnecessary. Don't invite things into your life that don't bring value into your life. I can tell you this, the world does start looking a whole lot more normal after just a few days away from media.
This is the Brian Hyde Show. This is the Brian Hyde Show.
And we are back. Dixie Chiropractic is one of my sponsors here on the Brian Hyde Show. That's Dr. Ward Wagner. And he says there's three groups of people in particular I'd like you to introduce me to, Brian. So these are the people who I want to point toward Dixie Chiropractic. Anyone who has been injured in a car accident, you really should get in touch with Dr. Wagner. And again, this is for my listeners in Southern Utah. Go to DixieChiro.com. If you have bulging or herniated discs, you want to check out their $99 intro special. That's two treatments plus massage. You can simply get in touch with the office for more information, again, at DixieChiro.com. Or if you or a loved one is dealing with neuropathy, here's the $99 Calmer treatment plus massage. Again, DixieChiro.com. As you make the appointment, please let them know that you heard about them on this program. Well, you know, no matter how skeptical a person may be about conspiracy theories, it's clear that a surprising number of them actually have panned out. In fact, I have friends who have said, I'm not even going to call them conspiracy theories anymore. They're more like spoiler alerts. I think it was Will Grigg, the late, great Will Grigg, who said, you know, conspiracy theorists most often tend to be people who notice and say something, you know, about things that they shouldn't have noticed. It's like, yep, that seems about right. Well, I've got a great article here from El Gato Malo on conspiracies about conspiracy theorists. And El Gato Malo starts out by saying, my goodness, these conspiracy theorists certainly do have vivid imaginations. Here is an article from Motherboard by Vice. Listen to this headline. This is from February 28th, 2020. Anti-vaxxers are terrified the government will enforce a vaccine for coronavirus. The subheadline here, anti-vax groups on social media are claiming the spread of the disease will lead to mandatory vaccinations and unlimited surveillance. Ha! What a bunch of nut jobs they were. I mean, as El Gato Malo says, that would be terribly divisive, counter to rights, and directly antagonistic to people who just want bodily autonomy. Can you even imagine public officials doing something like that? Pretty far-fetched. Oh, wait, look, here's a tweet from Mayor Lori Lightfoot from Chicago from December 21st of 2021. To put it simply, if you have been living vaccine-free, your time is up. If you wish to live life with the ease to do the things you love, you must be vaxxed. This health order may pose an inconvenience to the unvaccinated, and in fact, it is inconvenient by design. Well, Imagine that. How about health bodies using disease to engage in surveillance? Oh, look, Vice is back. This is from their motherboard column. CDC tracked millions of phones to see if Americans followed lockdown procedures, or lockdown orders, rather. Newly released documents show the CDC planned to use phone location data to monitor schools and churches and wanted to use the data for many non-COVID-19 purposes, too. That's from May 3rd of this year, so just a couple of weeks ago. How about governments doing the same and mitigating privacy altogether? Here's a tweet from disclosed.tv. EU Commission is expected to publish the draft law based on chat control or on chat control tomorrow. Lawmakers seek AI-based checks of all message content and images directly on users' devices. Critics say this is an attack on the digital privacy of correspondents and leads to mass surveillance. And Elgato Malo says, ha, I mean, that's just silly. What's next? Some wild-eyed claims that they want universal digital ID? Oh, wait. Here's another headline. World Health Organization is creating a global vax port? Yep, here's the headline. This one just comes right out and says it. A national vaccine pass has been quietly rolled out, and red states are getting on board. That's from Forbes magazine. Then making it international and inescapable. The article says, building a trust framework, the World Health Organization will convene member states and leaders of COVID-19 immunization credential technology groups to recognize different vaccine certificates across nations and regions, a top vaccination credential initiative official told Politico's Ben Leonard. The World Health Organization is bringing together the groups to develop a trust framework that would allow countries to verify whether vaccine credentials are legitimate. That's according to Brian Anderson, chief digital health physician at MITRE and a co-founder of VCI. Why does it matter? The effort would aid international travel by allowing proof of vaccination to be more easily shared and verified, Anderson said. Many countries and regions have different standards for proof of inoculation, creating confusion for travelers and officials. Anderson said it's piecemeal, not coordinated, and done nation to nation. It can be a real challenge. Elgato Malo says, I mean, what will these prolific conspiracy boffins think up next? Some sort of state-run digital currencies to link to this new ID and surveillance state? I mean, who would even suggest something like that? Oh, wait. Look, here's a tweet from the Federal Reserve. What is a central bank digital currency, or CBDC? A CBDC is a digital form of central bank money that's widely available to the general public. Whoa! And anyway, what's the worst that could happen? I don't know if this one's just a Photoshop, but it's a credit card reader, and it says, card declined. Please delete all tweets that violate your bank's hate speech policies to process payment. Elgato Malo says, I mean, they told us this is all benign, right? Source? Dude, trust me. It's not like they ever lied to us before, or if they did, I'm sure it was for our own good. Oh, look at this headline. Fauci said U.S. government held off promoting face masks because it knew shortages were so bad that even doctors couldn't get enough. You do remember this, right? Sorry if this is painful. This is like ripping the scab off, but hey. As Elgato Malo says, it's not like they're seeking to give this power to deeply compromised and captured transnational agencies with no accountability whatsoever and grant them authority over citizens who had no say in the matter. Here's another tweet from Together DEC. The biggest global power grab we've seen in our lifetimes. How serious is the threat from the World Health Organization pandemic treaty? Many are concerned that the U.S. amendments to the World Health Organization pandemic treaty will transfer sovereignty over public health policy to an unelected, unaccountable global organization. How worried should we be? This is from the dailyskeptic.org. Actually sounds like a good article to read. So Elgato Malo says, look, let's all take a breath. I'm sure you're just overwrought in imagining things. There are no conspiracies. No one is out to get you, least of all some shadowy Davos cabal. And if they were really trying to do this to you, I'm sure they would not just come right out and tell you in some sort of James Bond villain megalomaniacal monologue. I mean, come on, this is real life. No one actually does that. Oh, wait. Look, here's a tweet from the World Economic Forum. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. Elgato Malo says, and hey, I'm sure they'll probably manage to keep those first two promises, but watch out for that third one, though. I have some real doubts about it. I got a link to this in the article, or to this article in the show notes, which you'll find at thebrianhydeshow.com. Strongly recommend you, if you haven't subscribed to the Boricuato Substack. It is worth your time. In fact, I was looking at a list last week of what somebody had drawn up, some kind of a flow chart of these are the primary sources of misinformation when it comes to COVID, I presume. Anyway, in the top 20 was Elgato Malo. I was kind of happy for that. I was like, ah, this is great. In fact, I noticed about four or five out of the 20 top 20 sources of disinformation are Substacks that I have subscribed to and that I, you know, peruse on a regular basis. I mean, some people might think, oh my goodness, look, I'm just tapped into all kinds of sources of disinformation. But for me, that's actually, that's a bonus. That's a plus. When I consider who it is who's calling it disinformation, that's when I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I definitely want to know what they have to say. Just because, I don't know, there's enough of these information sources out there, and there's enough official bodies out there that, well, you have to believe this, and this is what constitutes the boundaries of acceptable opinion. I've reached the point where most mainstream sources, if they're saying something, I'm likely to take a look in the opposite direction just to see if it's 180 degrees from what they're trying to tell me. And you know what? More often than not, it is. You probably noticed this pattern too. The key here, though, is being willing to think for yourself, being willing to do your own original research, to go to original sources wherever possible, and always, always question and be skeptical about anything official that is being tossed in your direction. I say this often, but it really needs to be ingrained and written on our hearts. Truth is not something that is handed to you by someone in authority. It's something you have to go after yourself. And it requires effort, and it requires persistence, and sometimes it requires more than just a little bit of courage. But it's worth it.
This is The Brian Hyde Show.